Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode.
Kenyon Benjamin is a business architect. He's the founder of Argitech. It's a strategy management consultancy. He's a thought leader and an organizational transformer and a business strategist. He's a speaker, a consultant, and he's focused on transforming business operations to align with enterprise strategy. His company serves forward-focused leaders throughout the United States, based in Arizona, but serving people everywhere. Kenyon, thank you for coming back. I appreciate you giving up your time again.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Give us a quick refresher on what is business architecture, what difference it can make in organizations. I see that it is a growing field, and I think leaders need to know more about it. So, nutshell, I know that you talked at length about this in our first interview, but just a nutshell.
Yes, business architecture is that bridge between strategy development and strategy execution, driving alignment, creating organizational or operational clarity, and ensuring that strategic goals are achievable.
Okay. What about projects? Any projects you've been working on that are kind of interesting that you can talk about?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
I will talk about a housing project. I've been working on this one for 2 years now. I started out working with an organization that was managing a permanent supportive housing program. And they were reached out to me because they were not passing their federal audit. And a great use case for business architecture, because what was identified essentially was the organization had some missing capabilities. So a lot of what the program required of them was not in line with how the organization functioned. They had an operating team around this housing program that was disconnected from the financial team. And that financial team was used to serving a funding model that was different from what this program required. And so I'm looking at an organization that has these missing capabilities, therefore creating a real disconnect among the teams. And in working with them, I identified, well, what are their strengths? Well, what are the capabilities they have that they really excel in? And fast forward, I was able to work with that organization to partner with another organization to offload some of the capabilities that they had to this new organization that had the skill and the people and the experience to support them. So now we've got a program that's operating with two people, and it's much more secure because we've now elevated the maturity of these skills, highlighting the strengths of both of the organizations. Coming into the second year, we identified that the original organization kind of wanted to just step back and step away from that work in full and hand it off to a new organization. And so we were able to use that as an opportunity to define not only what we wanted this program to achieve, but what's the skill and competencies and the tools that are going to be necessary for a new organization to come in and fill the role that this previous organization had. And so we did that. Today, this organization, this housing program is operating among three different agencies, all leveraging the best of those organiza of the those organizations to deliver on this housing program. And we've created processes that allow us to work together all along this framework of being able to deliver a very specific value. And so that's been both challenging and fun just to see the evolution of a program that was struggling, could not meet its audit, to now making this housing program a program of the community that leverages the best of multiple organizations, now working along a framework with a very specific target.
I love that. So you created a cross-functional, cross-organizational, cross-agency collaboration
Yes.
that helps reach this much higher goal. And that was better than the original organization ever could. Is
Right,
that,
right.
yeah.
Ever could do independently. And that's a, that's part of my public sector coming out of me, just believing that, you know, public sector work happens within a system, not in, you know, an individual. And so I just business architecture is just really good in being able to again, nail down what are all the pieces and components we need. Now let's find the partners that can help us leverage this the best.
So, how do you figure out if business architecture is the right solution for an organization? Because it can't work everywhere. Nothing works everywhere.
Business architecture is everywhere. Your home has an architecture, whether you want to call it that or not. A business, an organization has an architecture. Whether or not you've defined it is another thing. But it's functioning some way. It has core components. It has value. Again, architecture is just brass tacks. What do you do? What are you? What's your value? But the use of business architecture is probably a better way to look at it. The use of business architecture is right for any business because it leverages business architecture creates a level of transparency across an organization that makes everything and everybody work better together. So, let's say an organization wants to do has a change initiative, and they say, well, we want to bring in a change management consultant. Business architecture can work there too, not in place of the change management consultant, but with the change management consultant. Because business architecture is just laying the foundation. It's making available, it's making available an understanding of what the organization is at a foundational level so that you can make better decisions. Now that change management consultant can come in and do what it needs to do. Having that blueprint and understanding, okay, I understand now where these pieces fit together. Great example. How many times do we have executives leave a company and a new executive walks in and they're like, where's the paperwork? Where's the policies? Where are these? How do you use this? What are the programs? How do, when you have business architecture already laid out in your organization, you can hand that individual the architecture of this business. This is how it delivers value. These are all the components. This is how it all pieces together. These are the tools, these are the policies and how they intertwine. So that person is already a many steps ahead when that foundation's already clearly laid out.
I like
So it's for
that.
everybody. It's for every institution. And I want to give this point because it's very important. And the reason why I don't shy away from saying the word business architecture. The majority of business architects are in banking institutions, insurance institutions, not in health and human services.
Oh, that's interesting because you are doing a lot of projects in that nonprofit health and human service sector. So you are really trailblazing for them.
I know, and again, I meet with folk, architects that are around the world. I have met one other that is in public sector work, and she is not in the United States. I'm trying to think.
That's
She in
interesting.
France. I can't recall. I can't recall. But yes, and she's the person that I go to when I have health and human service problems because I don't know another one.
So you've got a really thriving consultancy in this health and human services nonprofit, public sector world. I was going to ask you what distinguishes Architect from other consultancies in the field. And I already know the answer to that. One of the things is that you do business architecture in a world where it's not done a lot. I know you have a team with a wide array of skills. Seriously, what sets you guys apart?
I would say the biggest difference between architect and your traditional consultancy is that one, my focus is on the strategy implementation. Now I can support strategy development, and many times I do, but I'm more concerned about the alignment, the ability for an organization to actually execute the strategy. The second part that sets Architect apart is many organizations have trouble executing the strategy because they don't have enough hands. And so my team adopts the needs of the organization so they can focus on what I'm trying to share about how we align. So I try to help them set up, get rid of the fires, essentially, so somebody that can deal with the day-to-day so that they can focus. That's the difference.
Curious, what kinds of roadblocks do you encounter? Stuff that, makes progress slow or sometimes makes progress impossible. Can you talk about that and kind of your workarounds?
Usually it's an organization feeling like they don't have the time to invest, and they don't like they have this problem, they want a solution right now to this particular need. That's usually what comes up, and that's where that's the reason why I try to ensure that I have a team that, because I don't want that to be the barrier. Business architecture does require a level of investment and conversation that's different from what, your leader is expecting when a consultant meets with them. They're not expecting me to ask them, tell me about your language, or how do you all speak to each other? What are the words that you're using?
Oh
Right?
yeah, I'm sure they're not expecting that.
No. No,
All the years
they
I've been in consulting, I never asked that. I'm gonna try that, Kenyon.
And the other piece to this is I talked about the abstract nature of business architecture. Not a lot of people work in the abstract. And so having a conversation where I'm extracting things, and I might be repeating things in a more abstract way. And they're like, no, I'm specifically thinking, talking about this. I'm like, you're saying that, but really what you're talking about is this. It's not always an easy conversation to have. And so that often becomes a roadblock. I often have to rely on the trust building with organizations and leaders to get them to see and agree to my process. before I'm able to fully get the buy-in from them, you know, to
Well,
kind
yeah,
of
because
just
this is a
trust
foreign concept for lots of
yes
people.
it's a
Had it not been for you, I am sure I never would have heard of
it...
this. I'm positive.
right.
So, yeah, getting the buy-in, I'm sure, takes some skill and some patience. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I'm also curious about where you see the future of business architecture. Like, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but where do you see this going?
I mean, where is the rest of the world going? All the talk
Crazy.
right now, all the
Sorry.
talk right now is around AI when you talk about business. And I think it's obviously a important and critical conversation. And business architecture has a seat at this table as well, because it's important for businesses to understand that AI, much like any other technology, helps to automate existing capabilities. It helps to automate skills, makes business faster. Now, if you are a business that's already, you know, fast paced, and you are looking to implement a strategy for, you know, artificial intelligence in your business, you know, you want to understand specifically what capabilities, you know, AI is adopting in your business, and what areas are of your business you're speeding up. Because you might implement it and it might not have the impact that you wanted. So it really helps to be able to, you know, use business architecture to create the visibility you need to make the decision that's going to have the greatest impact. So I see business architecture going, you know, moving and continuing to grow in terms of its visibility in the business world. I know Wendy King, who is again a pioneer for business architecture. She has been successful with colleagues of hers in starting to get business architecture into business schools.
Oh, interesting.
You know, there was a recent research that was done, her and some colleagues did, and they published a white paper around, you know, the, you know, how are business schools teaching strategy execution, and finding that they weren't. They were doing a lot of investment in strategy development, and everyone knows how to develop strategy, but no one knows how to implement it. And so business architecture, put up against that lens, was shown to be a solution to the strategy execution gap. And so now, you know, it's being placed into to business schools. Penn State, I believe, is the institution where she and some colleagues are starting to teach it to those MBA candidates.
That's cool. I also agree that we do a lot on strategy development, not enough on implementation, and not enough on evaluation. Like we start implementing and don't stop and say, hold up, wait a minute, is this working well? You know,
Yes.
what are the intended consequences and what are the unintended consequences? So I'm very glad that this business architecture is getting a footing and will be helping people to close that gap. Because it is a big gap and it is profound and can impact lots of things in an organization. I know that you have a meeting that you have to go to and that your time is very limited, and I appreciate you sharing it with me. But before you go, will you tell my listeners how to find you?
Yes. You can, of course, find me on LinkedIn if you just type Argitech, Argitek. You will find me. I don't know where that word is used anywhere else. And trust me, I have it branded. And you can also find me at my email address if you have questions or are interested in hearing more about business architecture, or just have a need in your own organization. Kenyon, Kenyn, at Argitech.consulting. You can reach me at my email. And again,
And
my web.
Oh, go ahead. I
Yeah,
was going to
my
tell them that you also will come and speak for them and do
oh yes,
training. Yeah.
absolutely. But my and then website, of course, architect.consulting, ARGITEK dot consulting.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you for sharing your expertise, your insights, and thank you for talking us through one of the projects that you're working on. That was really interesting. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you.
Thank you. I'm so glad to finally have me on your podcast. This is exciting and fun.
Well, thank you. And I wish you every success and continued blessings.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichael Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.